This is Fresh Air. I'm Dave Davies, senior writer for the Philadelphia Daily News, filling in for Terry Gross. The Martin Short character Jiminy Glick lampooned celebrity interviews on the Comedy Central series Primetime Glick. Now Glick is starring in a new movie, Jiminy Glick in La La Wood. Grotesquely overweight and intellectually shallow, Jiminy Glick interviews real celebrities who endure his irreverent and often irrelevant questions. One of the celebrities he interviews in the film is Kurt Russell.
Tell me about Elvis Presley.
Elvis?
I love Elvis! Tell me about him!
I was 10 years old, I guess, and he was coming down onto the set in his car.
And, oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. And then you end up playing Elvis. How does that feel? That's like a full journey, I suppose.
Yeah, it was. It was,
I mean, I'm just theorizing here. I don't know if I'm right on this theory, but it seems like if you meet someone, then you do him.
I didn't meet him and do him, but I mean...
Yeah. I mean that if you meet him and...
You know, and then play him.
And play him.
Yeah.
Did you have any instinct then that his daughter might end up marrying Michael Jackson?
I was a 10-year-old kid. I wasn't looking into the future.
Nick Cage?
That she would marry Nick Cage?
Yes.
No, that... I gotta be honest with you.
Martin Short got his start doing sketch comedy on SCTV and Saturday Night Live, where he created the characters Ed Grimley, Jackie Rogers Jr., and the songwriter Irvin Cohen. His cable show Primetime Glick last aired on Comedy Central in 2003. Here's a typical interview from the series. Martin Short as Jiminy asks actor Brendan Fraser about his first movie role.
You know, let me ask you this.
Your first film was Encino Man.
Yes?
Oh, I love that. You played Link.
I did, yeah.
Then you play a Jew. You played a Jewish man.
Yes, I did.
And that was risky to play a Jew in Hollywood. In the 90s. What went through your head taking that kind of risk?
Well, I made sure that it was a film that had meaning.
But why a Jew?
Well, the character was actually just a kid. He was a football player, and he just wanted to belong. And he was willing to do anything to be a part of a group, even to deny who he was fundamentally as a person.
That's wrong. You should embrace whoever you are.
Well, that was the point.
If you're a Buddhist, be happy you're a Buddhist. If you're a Muslim, be happy that you're a Muslim. If you're Episcopalian, hide that fact.
Terry spoke to Martin Short in 2002.
Are your interviews on Primetime Glick scripted? When you have on real celebrities and you're playing this satire of a celebrity interviewer, do the real celebrities know what you're going to ask in advance, and have they already had a chance to think through how they're going to respond?
No, none of it is planned and none of it's scripted. No one knows what I'm going to say, and I don't know what I'm going to say. I have pages in front of me that have facts about the celebrity. And often, I won't even look at it until the last second because Jiminy wouldn't look at it till the last second.
Right, and you have a way of choosing the most unimportant movie that an actor's made to zero in on. Why is it so important for Jiminy Glick to always be in touch with celebrities?
I don't know. I think that Jiminy is someone who thrives on this shallow world of celebrity. When I started the show, and then it went on the air, and then I would read some response to it, only the positive, of course, that would claim great, you know, declarations of intent, you know, the ultimate satire of a form of a blanket of blank, and I would just say, absolutely. But it's not always true. Sometimes you set out by just saying that this character, if you met him in life, whether he was a teacher, or whether he was a politician, or whether he was a celebrity interviewer, would make you laugh because of his strange, sincere take on the world and how wrong it is.
No. One of Jiminy Glick's trademarks is that he's very self-absorbed, so when he's interviewing a celebrity, he's also talking about himself a lot and talking about his adventures with other celebrities and his wife and his past. Have you met a lot of interviewers like that where it seems to be more about them than it is about you?
I was interviewed once for a show and the I'm not going to say who it was because he's kind of known and you it seems mean, but he would end up talking about himself to the degree that I in my mind I was thinking it's been about 4 minutes since I've spoken, and it was an interview not unlike this, where it was just, you know, supposed to be an interview with me.
So what did that bring out in you?
You know what I do? I truthfully, it brings out no reaction other than laughter, whether I can laugh then or laugh later.
Now, one of the things that the Jiminy Glick show does is break for commercials, as most broadcast shows do, but these are all satirical commercials. I thought maybe we could break for one of your commercials from Primetime Glick, and this is a commercial for the Independent Film Channel.
This Monday on the Independent Movie Channel's Best of the Fest, Robin Herker's Explaining Carlo, the explosive story of two young heroin addicts who drive cross-country and strike up a relationship with two Texas lesbians. Then on Tuesday, two different lesbians on their way to L.A. strike up a relationship with a heroin-addicted ex-security guard from Texas in Kira Sandoval's controversial The Wisdom of Sarah Finkelman. Then on Wednesday, two ex-lesbians are drawn back into their former lifestyle when they pick up three heroin-addicted hitchhikers.
That's one of the very funny satirical commercials from Martin Short Show, Prime Time Glick. Do you write any of those commercials yourself?
Yes.
Good. They're very funny.
Yeah. Well, I work with two brilliant guys. One is Michael Short and one is Paul Flaherty. And the three of us create the show together.
Is Michael Short a relation?
Yes, he's a brother.
Uh-huh.
And my big brother, Mike.
Is Paul Flaherty related to...
Joe Flaherty,
Joe
brother.
Joe Flaherty, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, wow. All in the family.
They're all actually... well, obviously, I grew up with Michael, but I met Paul on SCTV, which Michael also wrote.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know you did imaginary TV shows when you were a kid. Were any of them interview shows where you got to interview the guests?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Well, there were variety. Variety interview, you know. I'd come out, sing a few numbers. I had, you know, a huge orchestra. And then I would sit down. I would get, you know, Playboy magazine, and I would, you know, read the interview with, I don't know, Norman Lear, and I'd do both voices. So I'd do a hard-hitting interview in the midst of, you know, doing a medley of songs that weren't nominated or something.
So when you were young and you were watching all these TV shows and doing your imaginary show, did you have any training? Did your mother say, send this boy to acting school or give him singing lessons, develop that talent?
No. My mother was the concert mistress of the symphony. She was the first female concertmaster, actually. So I grew up with, at times during the season, 5 hours of practice heard within the house on a violin. So the idea of rehearsal and opening night was not foreign. But no, I think growing up in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, you don't instinctively, you know, Broadway isn't down the street, so... It all seems not terribly realistic. I took piano lessons, but I never stated I was going to be an actor. It wasn't a realistic declaration, and I was always drawn toward, I guess, reality in that respect. So it wasn't until I was in university and having done theater throughout university, realized that there was actually an acting scene in Toronto, Ontario, which was 40 miles away. And that it was not inconceivable to take a year off school and try it.
Did your mother measure talent according to more classical standards of, you know, rigorous studies and a more legit kind of singing voice than you probably had? You had a more pop voice.
No, you know what? It was very interesting. She was always very encouraging. In fact, I have, when I was 15, Frank Sinatra had released an album called September of My Years. And I re-recorded that. I typed all the lyrics, and I had an attic bedroom, and the hallway to the bedroom was kind of had an echo to it. So I set up my chair. I had a microphone, reel to reel, and I would play the introductions from the Sinatra album. But it would be, and of course, Frank was, you know, 53, and I was 14. But the introductions would be in his key, so it'd be. Do 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 moon do 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 moon do 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 and here click strangers in the night too long. I was in Frank's keys, but I would do the album and it would take me about a week, you know. I'd make up an album cover and then my mother, I remember, listened to it and critiqued it because she used to adjudicate at certain you know, violent contests and things in her life. And so she wrote a synopsis a critique of each song, and the pitch was very good, lovely old song, well phrased at the end, hold the note too long here, and rated on as 4 stars, 3 stars, 3.5 stars, you know. So I still have that.
Wait, was that helpful?
It was helpful. I think it was mainly helpful because someone was taking my fantasy world very seriously and treating it with credibility and respect. You know, Frank Sinatra once said that his father was always around to piss on his dreams. And I think it's very important for parents to constantly nurture and support eclectic interests of their children, because you never know which one is going to become the fuel that, you know, drives their life.
Getting back to to Primetime Glick, Jiminy Glick has a sidekick and band leader whose name is Adrian Van Voorhees, a great name, I have to say, and he plays harp. Michael McKean plays the character. Can you talk about coming up with this character?
Well, I certainly didn't come up with the character Michael did, but we kind of wrote it in a direction. It was... you kind of find that the more things you do with characters, the more you come up with it. We'd be writing something, and Michael would come in, and Michael said, you know, I want to play him like he's older, but he wears a lot of makeup to hide it. So that becomes part of the character. Is he married, we discussed? Yeah, he's married 4 times, no children, Michael said one day. So that becomes part of the character.
Mm-hmm.
Does he like Jiminy? He doesn't dislike Jiminy, but it's a job. So if Jiminy insults him or cuts him off, he goes, very good, no problem, because it's a job. One of the episodes, his first wife, who's around 85, is on. It's one of those scenarios where we assume that he's married. His first wife was 20 years older. She's a horn player, and he just loses it. And there's a tape of Buddy Rich, a pirated tape of Buddy Rich screaming at the band on a bus. Wants his band, and so we made that Adrian Van Voorhees. So we come back from commercial, and he's just berating. Clams, you're hitting nothing but clams, you know. And so that's a new side of Adrian, the side of Adrian losing it. So that's what makes that stuff fun, is you keep saying, what if Adrian, you know, was in a bad mood this show, or what if Adrian gets hurt? I interviewed Michael last year. Michael McKean as Adrian, and the idea was that Russell Crowe hadn't shown up, and now we had to interview Adrian Van Voorhees. And at one point, again, it's all improvised, I asked him I made some comment about the fact that he wasn't terribly educated, that was that ever a limitation as a musician? And Michael's face completely changed, and he started to tear up, real tears. And there was a split second that even I, as Jiminy, thought, wait a second, have I mentioned something that's actually gotten Michael upset. I mean, it was so real. And he then proceeded to let me know, as Adrian Van Voorhees, that this was a very hurtful subject for him, and I could be hurtful sometimes and insensitive. And that he was always, you know, it was a sore spot for him, his lack of education. And it was an amazing exercise to watch, even after all these years of improvising, to see someone that into it and to make it that real.
So how did your character, Jiminy Glick, react when...
He became very, you know, oh my God, Adrian, I so didn't mean that. I mean, he became a little bit attentive to the possibility that he'd gone too far. You know, Jiminy Glick has no intention of hurting anyone. And when people get upset, when they walk off or they storm out, what have I done? Someone explain to me what I have done. He doesn't know.
Well, Martin Short, thank you so much for talking with us.
My pleasure.
Actor Martin Short speaking with Terry Gross in 2002. Short's new movie is Jiminy Glick in La La Wood.